and not close it, because today I am going to refer to quite a passage of scriptures. Can you connect me with this this machine, please? Remembering Your Roots is the title of this sermon. Memory. Memory is one of humanity's greatest gifts. Each one of us acts today and hope for tomorrow in the light of our past experiences. Our past shape who we are today and tomorrow. When we want to know someone else, we ask that person to tell us about his or her life story. A personal history of a person defines and distinguishes and make that person's life unique. In a larger sense, this is also true for the human community. What makes us Canadian? Is it because of hockey? It's probably is a common memory of all of us together, our ancestors who live in Canada. We can tell, say that it's a long history of hockey. We can talk about our country was used to be a British and a French colonies, and how eventually we become independent, and how we are different from the United States. A lot of Canadians define ourselves as we are different from the Americans. And then what makes us Chinese? For Chinese, maybe we talk about our food, our chopsticks. Or we can talk about the roots of our many, many dynasties. You know, Chinese have dynasties, you know? One of them is Ming Dynasty. And Chinese talk about our respect for parents, our filial relationship. You know, Chinese is known for that. We talk about Chinese New Year's, how every, doesn't matter who you are, where, in which part of the world, we look for Chinese New Year's, we celebrate. For the Jewish people, the most distinguished feature of the Jewish people is their sense of traditions, as dramatized in that famous musical called Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition, tradition. And the Jewish people's traditions, a very big portion, come from the Old Testament. Doesn't matter, Jewish people even have a big range of belief, theology, you know, and they are spread over the world, just like the Chinese. But yet, Passover, the Old Testaments pull them together. And then, how about Christians? What memory or roots defined Christians? Have you ever thought of these questions? In today's text, the message I want to try to proclaim to you is that as Christians, you and I are a descendant in a godly family that goes way, way back to the very beginning of human history. I want to impress you that you and I as Christians have a long route, and this route is a godly route. Hopefully, towards the end, you'll be proud of identifying yourself as Christians, and so live out what a Christian's life is supposed to be. I know, nowadays, sometimes people are ashamed of being called Christians. Sometimes people look upon, despise Christians. But I want to tell you, encourage you, that as Christians, we have a godly root, a godly tradition. We have a godly root that all goes way back to the very, very beginning. As we can project on today's text, one of my nephew, a couple months ago, told me that he took a DNA test. And through this test, he can, for about maybe $200, I shared the web, was the going rate for the DNA test. It tells you your family origin. Some of the tests can tell you what kind of disease you are prone to have because of your heredity. Genesis, the book of Genesis, won't analyze your DNA. But the book of Genesis that we read part of it today aims to tell you your origin, your long history. The book of Genesis, in the Hebrew, is pronounced as, the name of the book in Hebrew is called Bereshit, which means in the beginning. The English title, Genesis, came from the Greek word Genesios, which means the origin. So the Hebrew title, in the beginning, and the English title, the origin, are slightly different. But happily, both titles describe quite appropriately of the content of Genesis. Because Genesis is both as the beginning and also the origin. It tells us the beginning and origin of the cosmos. whole universe. It tells us the beginning and the origin of humanity. It tells us how nations were formed, and tells us about the humanity's alienation from God and our alienation from one another. The beginning, the origin. And towards the end of the book, it tells us the origin of the nation Israel. And most importantly, Genesis talks about God's new initiative to save his fallen world. So the book of Genesis is a very, very important book. It contains a lot of things that we need to know ourselves, our identity. And it is also fundamental to understanding the entire Bible. This year, we want to focus on a renewed life. So for the first half of the year, I want to bring all of us to think about what would be the life God intends us to be, so that we can renew towards it. And I would base on using heavily in the book of Genesis. So let's turn to the Bible under Genesis. Take a quick glance at the first chapter. I'm sure lots of you have read Genesis, at least a few parts of the chapters here and there. And many of the stories, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, are all familiar with you. Yet, have you noticed in the book of Genesis, after the introduction, in chapter 1, which begins, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth." And then after chapter 1, you go to chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created." Genesis, after that, from that on, the rest of the book was actually divided into 10 headings. Each heading always start with this format. This is the account of. So I want you to go quickly glance through it. For example, we started off with chapter 2, verse 4. And then the second account would be on chapter 5, verse 1. Can we read out all together? "This is the written account of Adam's line." When the book starts with "this is the account of Adam's line," it actually is not talking about Adam's, but actually talking about Adam's line, the descendants of Adam. Similarly, in chapter 6, verse 9, the third heading, chapter 6, verse 9, what does it say? "This is the account of Noah." And then later on, it really tells the three children of Noah. And the fourth heading is chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. "This is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's son, who themselves had sons after the flood. So this is the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's son. And then these sons, later on, you'll see that they spread all over the place. With the Bible talk about the table of nations. You know, that's how all the nations of this world, according to the Bible, were descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then the fifth line is chapter 11, verse 10, which we just read from the beginning. It says, this is the account of Shem. And the sixth heading is chapter 11, verse 24. Says, this is the account of Terah. The seventh line is 25th, and verse 11. This is the account of Abraham's son Ishmael, whom Sarah's maid servant Hagar, the Egyptian, born to Abraham. You see, today, Muslims trace their ancestors to Ishmael. So this is an historical account. And the eighth line is chapter 25, verse 19. These headings are very uneven. Some are long, some are short, some could be a few verses, some are maybe 10 chapters or more. The eighth account is, this is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. So when it's talk about Abraham's son Isaac, what is it, what should be talking about later on? What would be the story about? Who's Isaac's son? And just one son? Isaac's son. This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. What is the following? The Isaac's son. Jacob and Esau. It's funny how you say Jacob and Esau. It's actually should be Esau and Jacob, right? Although they are twins, but still they have one come out first. So if you follow that, it is actually about Jacob and Esau, or Esau and Jacob. And it's of how many chapters? 10 chapters. Okay, let's talk about them. And let's look at the ninth heading, chapter 36, verse 1. Okay, here you go. This is the account of Esau, that is Edom. Okay? And then, lastly, in the 10th heading, 37.2 would be This is the account of Jacob, right? And this last, way through to the very end of Genesis. Now, let me ask you another question. What is the account of Jacob would be about? About the sons of Jacob, right? So how many sons of Jacob is talking about? Reverend Messis says Israel, but it is only 1/12 correct, right? Because how many sons Jacob have? 12, yeah. And actually, it talk, of course, Israel is one, talk about, is one of them. And actually, Jacob is Israel. No, I'm confused, you know. Jacob's other name is Israel. And one of the son, the famous son of Jacob is Joseph. Right, so you see a lot of story about Joseph, but then of course other people like Judah, like Benjamin, you know, all this are part of that, you know, the story, you know. Okay, now, the reason why we take all this time to over here is how Genesis divide that. And I want you to step back and look in perspective at this chart. You will notice that, first of all, Israel God is also Christian's God. And he is the God of creation, all creation, and the Lord of all history. Okay, first of all, I want you to see, you know, as we talk about, you know, why does Christian wants to proclaim the gospel to all culture and nations? And the first reason why is because we believe that our God is a God of all people, the entire world, the whole universe. Look at that. There's a lot of story talk about in different culture, talk about the flood, talk about the deluge, talk about, you know, even Chinese talk about the flooding of the whole earth. But Chinese talk about many gods. The Mesopotamian culture, you know, the Babylonians, their ancestors talk about a flooding, a flood. But they talk about many gods doing all sorts of things. One story is about the reason why the gods flooded and killed all the all the human beings is human beings becomes too many, too noisy, too many of them. Now, make the god cannot go to sleep. So they decide to flood them out. But here, you talk about a story how God created the universe. Without any help, without other gods participating. Our God is the God of all creation and the Lord of history. Throughout the story, you see it, you will hear. You know, in all the traditional culture, you know, the firstborn is always the privilege. Firstborn always get the all the blessings from the Father above. And yet, in the story here, you see God, by his grace and by his sovereign choice, he raised up Jacob instead of Esau. And notice from the headings 1-5, it's called the so-called primeval history. Histories without too many written civilization records. But yet up to chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 10, verse 26. Chapter 11, verse 26, which is the last verse that we just read. It's after Terah had lived 70 years, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So who is Abram, Nahor, and Haran? Out of the three persons, who is most familiar with you? Whom do you recognize? Abram, right? Because Abram eventually becomes Abraham, and Abram became the ancestors of three major religions in this world existing today. And what are the three religions? Starting from the oldest in history. Judaism, the second one, Christianity, how about the third? Islam, three major religion existing today. In terms of age, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So Abraham is very pivotal in this book of Genesis. First five headings, they talk about in general how God made the universe, how people fall, and how the flood, came upon, and then eventually out of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, come to all the people. And out of all the people, God have selected one person, who's Abram, to carry out, to make out his salvation plan. And eventually that plan kind of evolved and diffused into three other religions. And here, if you look at it, it says God's salvation plan to restore his creation as revealed in Genesis is actually a prediction predicted by Genesis. So if you look at Genesis 3:15, it talk about after human fall into sin, God proclaimed his judgment. It says, the woman's offspring will crush Satan's head, and Satan will crush his heel. I preached about that on the last Christmas. It's the woman's offspring who is Jesus. So it already foreshadowed, predict in this God's salvation plan. And then in chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, let's read that together, since you have the Bible already open to chapter 11. Let's look at the second, the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. The Lord has said to Abram, so you see here, now the plan is more clear From the beginning, it says, oh, okay, woman's offspring will kill you, your offspring. But now here, it becomes more and more clear and more specific. And out of all the people, God chose one person, Abram. And from this, Abram says, I will make you into a nation. And then from this nation, all people will be blessed through you. So the plan is, one person, Abram, will become a nation, and one nation will bless all nations. So how does it play out and record it in the New Testament? Well, you see, our Lord Jesus is a descendant of Abraham, a descendant of Adam, and actually is a son of God. Let's look at Luke. Let's go to New Testament, Luke 3. Luke 3. In verses 23, it says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph. So Jesus began his ministry. At that time, his earthly identity is the son of Joseph. But then it says, son of Joseph is the son of Hillel, the son of Mahat, son of Levi, son of Melchi. And then it goes to all the way to 34. 34 is the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. We just read that. Abraham. And then verse 38, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. So this is God's plan. He sent his son Jesus to save us. And Jesus Christ is sometimes described in the New Testament as the new Adam, or the last Adam. This is stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, death comes from one man. Who's the culprit? Culprit's Adam. But then, through the second Adam, or through the last Adam, Jesus Christ, he gives spirit, life of the spirit. And then Paul in Galatians chapter 3, he says Christians are descendants of Abraham through baptism into Christ. So let's look at that together. Galatians 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Talking about roots, what's your roots? If you say, according to the Bible, my roots trace all the way back, and it says, I am sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. I didn't say that. The scripture says that. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And then verse 28. There is neither Jews nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are all by faith, by God's grace, by God's election, that we are the descendants of Abraham. The one God said, through the you, blessings will come. And there's no greater blessings than knowing our Lord Jesus. Finally, this is one verse that we sometimes read it many times, and sometimes we fail to understand the significance of it. It's in the Gospel of John, 1st chapter, verse 13. And start with verse 12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions, or a husband's will, but born of God. Well, you are very familiar with this one, this verse. As that, to all receive him, he says, he gives us the right to become children of God. And yet in 13 it says, these children are not born of natural descent, nor of human decision of a husband's will, but born of God. Have you realized that you are born of God? Does that excite you? That God, through his grace, God, he who have no biological children, reproduce himself in us. That's what the marvelous truth is. We, by God's grace, God reproduced in us. He says, we are born children, born not of natural descent, not because of a husband, but born of God. God reproduced himself. Jesus says, when I'm in you, Jesus is saying that the second person of the Trinity, he says, I am with you. I am living among you. You are bearer of my godly nature. God reproduced himself in us. Let's marvel at this. That's why in the first John, he says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's our identity. That's our roots. Our roots came from God. Now, final question. If you realize that your roots came from God, the natural question is, how then shall you live? I think that's the last question every one of us can answer. No, you know, if you realize that we have this identity, we have this root from a holy, merciful, loving God who shares his life with us, then the biggest question in our life. For the rest, I hope that this is the questions that will dawn on you for the rest of this year, for the rest of your life. Is how then shall you live? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that our life is not a random, by chance, or meaningless creation. And we thank you that we have a godly root, that you should give it, lavish on us. May this year start off with a true bottom of our hearts thanksgiving to you, and help us to use our life to walk in reflection of your beauty and your goodness. We pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.